You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The U.S. State Department calls child marriage a human rights abuse and wants to ban the practice in other countries. But here in the United States, all but two states allow children under the age of 18 to marry under certain conditions, generally with parental approval and in some cases a judge's approval. And Idaho has the highest rate of child marriage per capita in the country. That's according to one recent study. Representative Melissa Wintrow introduced a bill in the legislature earlier this session that would align our state's marriage law with our statutory rape laws. What that means is this: no one under 16 years old could get married, and those who are 16 or 17 would need to get parental permission as well as judicial permission, and they would not be able to marry anyone more than 3 years older than them. That bill was killed. Samantha Wolfile, a reporter with a newspaper called The Inlander, interviewed Sandpoint resident Angel McGeehee, who got married at the age of 13. Both of them are joining me live on the phone to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
So, Samantha, I'd like to start with you, because when you wrote this article, what stood out to you about our current laws here in Idaho regarding child marriage that really compelled you to look deeper into this?
Yeah, you know, this really sort of came to our attention when we saw some previous reporting by PBS Frontline and a couple of outlets there in Idaho that pointed out that same statistic you just brought up, that Idaho, it appears, has the largest or the highest rate of child marriage anywhere in the country. And that was surprising to us. I think, like a lot of people, we don't necessarily think about this happening in our communities mm-hmm. right next door or in our own communities. And the fact of the matter is that it does.
I think what's interesting, too, is that if we do think about it, we might think of someone being maybe 16 or 17, you know, marrying someone who's maybe 18 or 19. However, in this article that you wrote, you actually noted a couple of examples of child marriage in Idaho, and one in particular that stood out to me. One in 2010, when a 65-year-old man married a 17-year-old girl.
Right. Yeah, you see these large age differences. And when you look at the data, both in Idaho and nationally, you know, a lot of people might think, well, you know, maybe it's both boys and girls under 18 getting married. But really, it's majority girls underage who are getting married to men who are older than 18. And frequently, it's men who are in their 20s or 30s, or as we point out in the article, some who are in their 40s, 50s, or 60s.
Angel, I want to bring you into the conversation. You were married when you were 13. You were living in California at the time. Your parents, the rest of your family, allowed this marriage. In fact, if I'm accurate, did your mom actually performed the ceremony? And we should know your boyfriend, who then became your husband, you were 13, he was 16. But why do you think your family thought that this was a good idea? You were 13 years old at the time.
Yeah, goodness, why did they think it was a good idea? I don't know. I try to examine that quite a bit, mm-hmm. You know, but I can't answer for my mother, but the way I perceive it now is that I feel like she always had this grand idea that we would all always live together in kind of a sort of commune, and that was easily accomplished by getting me married very young, getting me to have children very young, because I would become dependent on her and I wouldn't be able to leave. Basically, it was a method of control. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of the mastermind of it. My stepfather was the enabler. And because we were so isolated, I grew up super isolated. I mean, I didn't go to the dentist or the doctor or anything mm-hmm. like that. And so my mother was able to do those things because there was no one else speaking into my life saying, this is not a good idea. So it was really her isolating me and being able to control what happened. That's why it happened. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Nobody else really knew.
Right. And in fact, you ended up moving to Idaho because your family thought that child marriage was more acceptable in Idaho.
Yeah.
So take me so you were 13, you are now 27, you've left that marriage. Tell me how you were able to do that, because you're right. At 13 years old, you're financially dependent upon your parents, whether you're married or not, especially when you marry someone who's 16 years old.
Yeah, and emotionally dependent.
Right.
I mean, you're entirely dependent on those people. And when those people have the freedom, right, that they have in Idaho mm-hmm. to abuse me the way they did, it turned out into a very long process of getting the strength and the courage to leave, because that wasn't even something I knew I could do. When I was 13, 14, 15, right, having a child with my very abusive, violently abusive husband at the time, I thought that was what love was and that was what my life would be like, until I ended up meeting a lady who invited me out to a Bible study, and I was like, oh, I just wanted friends. So I went, and she found out that I was being abused. She directed me to the local domestic violence agency, advocacy agency in our area, which is Preacher Ministries, Advocates for Women, that was in that rural town. And that's where I started going to, like, support group. They would come and get me and transport me to the support group. And they gave me tutoring for my GED and stuff like that. They gave me self-confidence and, like, the strength I needed to learn that what was happening to me was wrong, and helped me through getting out of it. So without them, I probably would have ended up either staying in that relationship indefinitely or dead, right? Mm-hmm. Because I didn't know any better. And so they're the ones, they saved my life.
I'm speaking with Samantha Wolfile. She's a reporter with the newspaper, The Inlander, as well as Sandpoint resident Angel McGehee, who got married at the age of 13 years old. Samantha, going back to the article that you wrote, you talk about many states are trying to get these child marriage laws changed. In fact, Washington State, you noted, tried to do this as well in their last legislative session, but that bill died as well. Are you finding that this is more common, that legislators just don't want to touch these laws?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, it seems like it's coming up more and more in states, and I think you're seeing these efforts by organizations like Unchained at Last and the Tahira Justice Center, who are really pushing for states to change their rules to 18, no exceptions. And there's a lot of good reasons behind that. When you sort of look through this article, we kind of touch on if you're under 18 in a lot of states, you can't represent yourself in court. Mm-hmm. If you need to get a divorce, you can't get out of a domestic violence situation sometimes because some shelters won't be able to take you because you're a minor. So I think some states are realizing that these are issues and trying to take it up. But, you know, like that bill in Washington that you mentioned, it didn't even get a hearing. So I don't know that there's not the political will, but it wasn't a priority apparently mm-hmm. this year.
And that's the scary part right there, is that it may not being a priority, or people not wanting to think that this still happens.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of the things too is that data is showing that people who get married as teens or even children, Angel, in your case at 13 years old, that you end up having so many obstacles in your way. I mean, one of them being financial hardships, just to name one issue. And Angel, you talked a little bit about that financial dependence, that emotional dependence. I mean, you were in that exact situation. Now at 27 years old, what does your life look like now? You've been able to leave. You're able to care for yourself, and you have children as well, correct?
Yeah, it's been a long journey. I mean, losing my childhood and those years of self-discovery and trying different things and learning who I am, that's time I will never get back. And that does haunt me to this day sometimes, where, like, right now I have to devote my entire life to providing for my children and giving them what I didn't get mm-hmm. for myself, you know, the opportunities, the freedom, the education. So still I have to deal with putting aside what I want and what I want to do with my life to give my kids what they need, because I want to give them what I never had, what mm-hmm. I deserved, right? Mm-hmm. And so I have kind of mom guilt compounded because of wanting to be the mom I never had.
Yeah.
So not having a lot of time to devote to myself is hard emotionally. I have, right, the obstacle of having to share my children with the man who was so abusive to me, having to keep talking to him and letting my kids visit him. That's a huge struggle for me. And I have to do that to this day, right, till they're older. And then my kids will have kids, and I will still have to be around him probably. Mm-hmm. So that's really hard. And not only having to deal with the years I lost, I think I have to deal with the person I lost. I have to come to terms with living inside the body I have, which has been damaged by the abuse I experienced as a result of my childhood marriage. I experienced severe PTSD and anxiety and guilt and depression. The person I could have been was stolen from me. And now I have to live in this body as a result, you know, of people, what they have done to me. Mm-hmm. It grieves me to think of who I could have been and the life I could have had if I hadn't been married at 13. And now, now I'm living in a supportive marriage, and, you know, I have a good family and a good life, and I own my home, and I'm starting to get to do those things that I want to do, but it's still hard. I have very young children, and I'm never going to get the years back that I lost. So,
but Angel, you're a warrior, because there are not many people who could have done what you did. So I know you give a lot of credit to that support group, but you know what? It takes a special person to do what you did.
Thank you. Well, I feel like I went through it, and now I have to have a voice, because I felt like no one had a voice, like nobody gave me a voice. And I want to be a voice for those people and those girls that are going through the same thing that I went through, so that they can know that it doesn't have to be the way it is. And, they can have freedom and hope after
something like that happens. I want to thank both of you.
After something like that.
Yeah, seriously. And you know, Angel, too, to just get your story out there and talk about it. As I always say on this show, if we don't talk about it, we don't know about it, and you can't change it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I want to thank both of you for coming in today and taking some time out of your day to talk to me. My guest, Samantha Wolfile, a reporter with the newspaper The InLearner. She interviewed Sandpoint resident Angel McGehee, who, as you heard, got married at the age of 13 years old. I want to thank both of you again. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day.
Thanks for having us.